Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the hosts, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us. But how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is leveraging IT to get the most out of every dollar. Our guest for today's show is Perry Leib. Perry is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Arvind Meritor, Inc. In this position, he provides the strategic vision to Arvind Meritor's global technology efforts. Perry also directed the company's full range of information technology services, including computing services, global telecommunications, ERP, e-business application development, and business intelligence systems. Under Perry's leadership, Arvind Meritor has developed and implemented a dynamic e-business strategy that has drawn significant industry attention. The strategy enables improved employee and customer productivity and establishes business processes with web-enabled information and collaboration tools. The strategy focuses on engineering, B2B supply chain, procurement, and quality process improvements. He's also credited with leading efforts to create an IT center that will be a major hub in the company's network of worldwide IT centers. In addition, Perry directed the consolidation of Arvind Meritor's Troy, Michigan, and Columbus Information Technology call centers into the Columbus eSupport Center. Before July 2000 merger of Arvind Inc. and Meritor Automotive Inc., Perry was Vice President IT of Arvind, a global manufacturer of automotive components, including exhaust systems, ride control products, air, oil, and fuel filters, and gas charge lift supports. During his tenure at Arvind, his accomplishments included implementing a global IT strategy to support Arvind's business objectives, establishing a strategic direction for common global business systems, and launching an e-business strategy. Good morning, Perry. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sanjong.
How's business doing?
Business is doing fine. Revenues are doing well. Margin pressures are always there, and we're working diligently every day to do more with less.
Now, you are, your organization is an automotive products and services supplier, and the key to your success should be primarily effective procurement and streamlined supply chain operations. However, there must be something else not so obvious that might be critical to your success. What are those things?
Prior to getting into that, Sanjong, let me explain just somewhat about Arvind Meritor, because it does drive our business strategies relative to what you just discussed. We're really three businesses: commercial vehicle systems, which services the heavy vehicle market; light vehicle aftermarket, which focuses primarily on light vehicle aftermarket products; and then light vehicle systems, which provide components and parts for the automobile manufacturers. Due to that diversity, we have a number of different factors that can impact our business results outside of the supply chain. If we look at commercial vehicle systems, an example, warranty is a very big issue, and we're working to reduce cost and improve our effectiveness there. Light vehicle aftermarket has a fairly significant e-business initiatives, in terms of order processing and gathering orders via the web. And in light vehicle systems, it's more than just the supply chain that we need to focus on. We can't forget the design change, which really drives the supply chain, and the collaborative efforts we have with our customers there, as well as program management in each of the areas, which really can determine our success relative to customer satisfaction and delivering our products on time to our customer base.
So when you're saying you are not only affected by supply chain operations, and of course there's procurement, then how effective, or you can say how critical, is the customer service side to you? You're a B2B operations, and you're not going actually to the end customers as such. But still, do you think that aspect is going to be critical to how you're perceived and how you lead the organization and, you know, lead the industry?
Absolutely, particularly in the light vehicle aftermarket business, where web-enabled e-commerce is becoming even more prevalent. And when we look at e-business and our collaborative initiatives with the OEMs on the light vehicles segment, are very important to us.
That's great. While your IT organization seems to have reached a fairly good level of maturity, how well are your value chain partners doing? When we talk about value chain, means your suppliers, your distributors, anybody and everybody you associate with in order to do your business. And as we already know, that while you might be the best in the whole of value chain, but you might have some other associates which might become the weakest link. So where do you stand, and where does your value chain stand, and how are you working together with them to make sure that the whole value chain is most effective and most efficient, and that's where you can create value for the end customer?
Well, again, due to our diversity in our customer base, also drives us, you know, some differences in our supplier base. But overall, I think Arvin Meritor is very competitive with our peer group in each of these segments. I think you will also find that many of our suppliers are very large companies, some even larger than Arvin Meritor, yet some are very small. So if you look at the effectiveness, I think it's mixed. I think we're very effective with some customers, particularly the larger our suppliers, I should say. Particularly the larger ones, the smaller ones become more of a challenge.
So let's further dig into this topic further. When we say the weakest link, what kind of weaknesses do you find in the value chain? Where exactly do you feel are the issues along the whole value chain which could further be improved? Maybe the companies which are in that particular segment have to do something themselves, or maybe you can help them.
I think it's in the more future-looking areas, particularly as we look at the supply chain and more web-enabled programs via, the web. And in that case, I think you'll find some of the smaller companies who may not have as large an IT staff or perhaps even sophisticated, that we will have to work more closely with them and provide guidelines, and which we have, in terms of how to do business with Arvin Meritor via the web.
Have you been going and mandating this thing that if you need to do business with Arvin Meritor, you've got to have at least this infrastructure, or you would rather, work with them to come up to speed?
To this point, we'd rather work with them to come up to speed. It hasn't been an absolute mandate.
All right. Your industry is fiercely competitive, as we see that there are a lot of bigger and, in fact, smaller players as well, and the margins must be reducing every day. And you must be trying to, help your sales staff and sales force, you can say sales organization, leveraging IT to basically help increase the volume so that keeping the lights on is not an issue. Now, this in turn must be increasing the pressure to increase effectiveness of operation and also reducing the IT budget. What are the creative measures that you have been thinking of or implementing or planning which would allow you to eat the cake and have it too?
Well, you're absolutely correct. The automotive supplier business is extremely competitive, as you know. And I think what we have done is focus on execution to ensure that we have a very solid strategy, and that strategy must involve standardization and commonization as much as possible to take cost out, to take complexity out, a very good tactical plan that we would execute on an annual basis. And again, this isn't creative. I think a lot of this is just blocking and tackling, to be quite honest about it, but to ensure we have good, solid project plans, that we have within Arvin Meritor a common approach to managing our projects and an overarching program management process that tracks all of the projects that we have in place. And I think that is just discipline in execution of the programs and projects that we have in place. Now, in addition to that, however, we have chosen to insource more than outsource. And I think this has given our people the ability to learn the new technologies and to apply the technology to solve business problems that to this point in time has proved to be very cost effective. However, we must continue to focus on continuous improvement, to take cost out, and to improve effectiveness. And without a doubt, we have used selective outsourcing where it makes sense. We will continue to look at that in the future.
When you say, you're trying to make the project planning better and you're insourcing, which some people might be finding rather different in terms of when the whole world is moving towards outsourcing, you're actually doing insourcing. And, you know, if it's working for you, that's wonderful. From the creativity standpoint, do you think there is, of course, there is no silver bullet, but is there anything creative about the processes, or you would rather say, you know, there is no point in trying to shoot in the dark and try to figure out something which nobody has done before and we tried to do it, and just basically pick up the established, tried and tested practices and just execute them well?
Well, I think the latter really provides the foundation. Of course, one would be rather foolish to say we're not continuing to look at new ideas on creative approaches on how to improve effectiveness while reducing cost. So, of course, we approach that through our continuous improvement process. And, of course, all of our IT leaders and IT personnel generally spend a lot of time researching on how to do their job better, to make improvements. And we certainly endeavor to be creative.
That's wonderful. Now, your business model makes you very much dependent on your suppliers. While they do their best to serve you timely and effectively, how does your IT organization help doing the business with Arvind Meritor any easier, as that goes a long way in building trusted partnership with these suppliers?
Well, if you look at the Arvind Meritor organizational structure, if I take procurement as an example, that focuses on one segment of supply chain, obviously. We have business analysts in each of those in each of the business group areas. And they work directly with the suppliers, and we work very closely with the business analysts to implement technology and implement improvements to existing technology. So I think we have an extremely good partnership with the business functions as well as the businesses themselves in order to, number one, understand the business so that we're in a position to make improvements and suggestions for improvements, and then continuing that close relationship on a day-to-day basis.
That's great. We will dig into this topic a little further because I had a couple of questions on this. But before we do that, let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. So please stay tuned.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The world of IP is complex and full of pitfalls. Learn how to protect you and your business by tuning in to Intellectual Properties and You. Heard every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, your host Steve Degman provides you information and real-world advice regarding intellectual properties. Intellectual property is an intricate part of today's business world, and protecting your IP is critical to your business success. Find out how on Intellectual Properties and You, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Real business issues, real business talk.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On Managing Technology the Right Way, we'll talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its associated risks. Heard every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Sun Jogal, the host of Managing Technology the Right Way, will interview business leaders and other experts that have shaped the way we use technology. If you want to keep up with the changing world of technology, listen to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Tune in to Business America Radio every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Operating Today's Business in an Internet World with Tim Pearson. This show is designed to let you know how the Internet and its associated technologies provide a mechanism to do business in a completely connected world. Each week, Tim will discuss different topics from Internet security to educating your workers on its IT technologies. So tune in and get connected to Operating Today's Business in an Internet World with Tim Pearson every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is leveraging IT to get the most out of every dollar. Our guest for today's show is Perry Leib. Perry is the Senior Vice President and CIO of Arvind Meritor, Inc. In this position, he provides the strategic vision to Arvind Meritor's global technology efforts. Perry also directs the company's full range of information technology services, including computing services, global telecommunications, ERP, e-business applications development, and business intelligence systems. Before the break, we were just talking a little bit about the business model of Arvind Meritor, which is to quite an extent dependent on suppliers, and while we are trying to work with them very closely, and Perry mentioned that they have a business liaison person, a business analyst, actually, who works with the suppliers, and they work with this business analyst to make sure that the supplier's needs are met. Would like to go further into it to see what specific IT-related initiatives have been taken so that while this business analyst works and communicates the ideas back and forth, how does IT further go and reinforces the concept of working collaboratively with these suppliers and actually creating value and actually streamlining the overall operations. So, Perry, please continue.
Relative to the suppliers, we have a number of initiatives underway. First of all, the supplier website, which really starts as basic as how to do business with Arvind Meritor if you want to become a supplier to Arvind Meritor, and the steps one has to take to begin that process. We also provide supplier scorecards via the web for our suppliers to check their ratings relative to the various metrics that we keep relative or track relative to their performance. That's available to them. We also are piloting and actually implementing supplier visibility, where we're linking via the web with key suppliers to provide Arvind Meritor manufacturing requirements on a daily basis, or even more frequently for that matter, so that they can, our suppliers can plan their production schedules and operation schedules to a much greater extent. We also provide a minority supplier website and that sort of thing. So we're doing a number of initiatives via the web with our suppliers on how we can really partner and become more effective.
Now, from the business model standpoint, I was curious, would you call your organization as a convergence point, or you can say a supplier which in turn takes items from various suppliers and becomes a convergence point for multiple customers, or would you actually call yourself as a marketplace, B2B marketplace?
The former. I don't think we're necessarily a B2B marketplace. To a certain extent, we are in light vehicle aftermarket for our light vehicle customers, our light vehicle aftermarket customers. But primarily, I think we're working to become an integrator, if you will, amongst various suppliers as we become more of an integrator, an integration supplier for our customers. It's going to be incumbent upon us, and and really a requirement for us to work with numerous suppliers and bring in many parts together and components and assembling those into systems that we deliver just in time to our customers.
That's wonderful. There is usually a dilemma with progressive IT organizations like yours, and what they are trying to do is to exploit the newly found power of technology, you know, Internet or XML or other new technologies that are coming up. And at the same time, they have some legacy applications and other old applications which do work, and they do not want to let them go. And if you want to let them go, then what you're doing is, in a way, that was a sunk cost, and it could have created value, but you are doing that in favor of the new technology, which might bring some incremental value. However, the ROI might be realized in the next couple, 5 to 10 years. How do you deal with this dilemma in your organization?
Well, two things. Number one is I want to make it clear that we are not we don't desire to be a bleeding edge IT organization. In the marketplace that we're in, I'm not sure that's cost effective for us. So we're more of a close follower. So we consistently are looking at newer technologies and providing proof of concept pilots. And once we prove that a concept is viable, workable, we will then take that into a pilot project to determine whether or not there's an ROI, potential ROI. And that's what it really, really comes down to at the end of the day. There must be a return on the investment, and in today's world, we're looking at shorter term as possible. So I think it's really the process that is important to us to ensure that the effort, the time, and the money, and all resources that we spend on these projects is going to yield a return. Now, relative to legacy, it focuses back on return. Any new projects must provide a better return than the legacy project. Otherwise, we'll put that on we'll hold the new technology to the point or until a point where that's going to be it's going to be profitable for us. So the dilemma is not really as bad as it could be, simply because we're looking at return on almost everything that we do.
So when was this, when we had this Internet bubble, at that time everybody was saying that, okay, let's join this bandwagon. What was going on in your organization?
A number of things, quite honestly, and we made a conscious decision early on, and this goes back 5 years ago, that we were going to implement that technology ourselves, at least initially, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, so that we understood it, so that we wouldn't be oversold or have expectations that just weren't realistic. So back in the earlier days of the dot-com bubble, we did what I think is what most companies did that have been successful at it. We developed our intranet initially, and developed, as I said, ourselves. We implemented that. We did not rely on consultants to do that for us. And the real outcome of all of that was that our people became very knowledgeable of the Internet technology, how to write these programs, how to implement these systems. Beyond that, early on in what we have implemented, particularly in the light vehicle aftermarket, commercial vehicle aftermarket, we did the proof of concept that I mentioned and piloted, and we had a pretty good idea of the results that we could expect to get. So we weren't oversold on the dot-com hype, to be quite honest about it.
We have actually spoken about a couple of things that you led in terms of initiatives related to IT to create some value. Now, going across the industry players, what do you think are the core challenges, or rather chronic challenges, which you guys face, given in this such a competitive environment and the type of industry you are in, which you need to deal with? And, of course, everybody is doing their best to come up with their best solutions, but for us to be able to understand or for us to be able to develop, deploy a solution, there at least has to be a problem definition put in place and also a structure to a problem. So what are your thoughts in that regard? What do you think are the core and chronic problems in your industry related to IT? Or you can say business problems which could be solved by IT.
Well, I think fundamentally, I think not only IT must understand the technology, we must understand the business very well so that we are in a position to, number one, advise and facilitate changes in processes and implementation of technology. And I think that's also an education process for our end users within Arvin Meritor. So I think we've worked diligently in the last few years to educate our end users on what is possible and then work to develop the business case to implement solutions that are effective for Arvin Meritor and effective and profitable. That's going to drive results. And I think if there's one problem that I've found over the last couple of years that is just the pace of change when implementation of new technology is underway, it's not necessarily a technology problem. It's a process change and getting people, number one, to understand new processes, how to interface properly with the systems that we implement to make the process improvements that we're all driving for. And I think relative to IT effectiveness, that may very well be the key.
So when we come back to prioritizing the type of issues that you might be facing just because you're in the automotive products and services supplier market, as a business problem, what is the top business problem that you feel you and your competitors face, which, if possible, would be very solvable using IT?
Well, I can't speak to all of our competitors, but I think that one of the biggest problems we face internally is the continual price downs that we get from our customers. Obviously, it's built into contracts. We're going to take price out each year. That's exacerbated at times when we have steel price increases where additional surcharges are levied and cuts into our profitability. So I think the whole process of continuous improvement, how to continue to take cost out while at the same time improving quality of your product and the quality of your services in terms of providing the parts just in time and in sequence and all of those types of things that our customer requirements continue to become even more difficult to meet each year. Now, IT can help do that, obviously, as better we understand the business, how we can apply technology. I think we're doing that in the supply chain area currently. And I'd mentioned a number of initiatives that we have with supplier visibility and the scorecards. I think also a lot more work needs to be done in the design chain so that we collaborate with our suppliers better and not only getting the cost reduction ideas from Arvin Meritor, but also getting them from our customers. I think that's going to continue to become even more important. And I think the one key that as more companies, particularly auto suppliers, the tier one auto suppliers are becoming systems integrators, this whole concept and application of program management so you have flawless product launches is going to be key and I think necessary for those that survive in this business.
That's great. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and then we will talk a little bit about the complexity and lack of usability in the different IT implementations that are done, and just because of that, the users do not adopt the systems, and in fact, that takes away all the return, and for that matter, all the big implementations are worth nothing. So we will quickly discuss this when we come back, so please stay tuned. Take care.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today. Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do it.
Learn how to make money by going against the crowd. Listen to Thinking Outside the Herd, value-based strategies for profitable stock investing with Philip Butz and Adam Herron every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Philip and Adam will show you how to find and evaluate unique opportunities in the stock market that will enable you to build a portfolio with real rather than relative returns. Improve your portfolio. Stay ahead of the curve. Listen to Thinking Outside the Herd, value-based strategies for profitable stock investing with Philip Butz and Adam Herron. Every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Business America Radio.
Do you want practical business talk radio that thinks outside of the box? Then you need to tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time to Business Out of the Box with Margo Maddock-Murphy. Margo will tackle many different aspects of the business world, from building and reclaiming your profit to improving communication and breakthrough thinking, with great opportunity to call in with your questions or new business ideas. Your host, Margo Maddock-Murphy, is a veteran in business deployment and profit building with companies such as AT&T and Johnson & Johnson. Her business experience spans the globe, working with over 40 countries and in 11 industries. Margo, her guests, and callers are truly your airtime business solution finder. So don't miss your chance to keep the profit in your pocket and get out of the box every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Once again, that's Business Out of the Box, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Are you ready to get the most out of your money? Listen to Fiscal Fitness with Drs. Don Schutz and Kurt Dittbrenner every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Don and Kurt will discuss investment strategies, tax breaks, goal setting, and more. Whip your finances into shape. Listen to Fiscal Fitness with Drs. Don Schutz and Kurt Dittbrenner every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio from a business perspective.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com on the SurfNet Radio Network, brought to you by SurfNet Media Group, publicly traded under the symbol SFNM. BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Rule number one when investing, always have a strategy. Rule number two, listen to Strategies for Enlightened Investors with Jim Whitten and Lance Alston. Heard every Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Strategies for Enlightened Investors will expose investment myths that just aren't true and let you know about financial planning strategies for your future. Become an enlightened investor every Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Welcome back to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal. Call in with your questions at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is leveraging IT to get the most out of every dollar. Our guest for today's show is Perry Leip. Perry is the Senior Vice President and CIO of Arvind Meritor, Inc. In this position, he provides a strategic vision to Arvind Meritor's global technology efforts. Perry also directs the company's full range of information technology services, including computing services, global telecommunications, ERP, e-business applications development, and business intelligence systems. Before the break, I quickly mentioned about the situation where we might be coming up with the best applications that we could ever create. However, since in case of Arvind Meritor, for example, and in many cases, the end users of the systems and applications are usually not that tech savvy. And therefore, the slightest element of complexity and or lack of usability could turn a big IT implementation into a disaster, as it will not be embraced by the user community. So, Perry, what steps are being taken to make sure that this does not happen?
Well, this is true in all projects. It's particularly true in the large ones. We have a number of large initiatives underway. The project teams are comprised of not only IT people, but people from the business. And a lot of the key drivers of the projects are from the business, for that matter. And I think there's one thing we've learned through a couple of our larger implementations is you can underemphasize training. I think training on the technical aspects and the process change relative to the system is key, and it's the fundamental thing in successful implementations is training and getting heavy user involvement. And that's not only on the project team level, but to ensure that we have that type of commitment and support from the senior VPs all the way through the leadership teams of the business units or the functions where we're implementing in systems. So I think it's hard work and just including end users in all aspects of the project and then just doing a really, really good job of training.
So when you pick up a project, for example, there might be a new initiative. What is the level of due diligence that is done just to make sure that it even is worth it? And secondly, what level of first level buy-in is taken from the end user community? Because, sometimes if there's no feeling of ownership, then the chances of adoption of that particular implementation might be lower. So what has been your experience in that regard?
Well, first of all, I will not take projects. I don't try to sell projects necessarily or systems. As I mentioned, we go through the proof of concept and prove that there can be a business case. And we have to get our end users involved in that early on, so that IT really never has to go to the senior management level and sell projects. The businesses are doing that. The ones that have been most successful is where we've had the businesses driving process change and new systems. And I will continue to do that. IT certainly has an obligation, and we do this to bring new ideas to the business, but they really must be supported at the lower levels and then on through the business before we'd ever take initiative on through implementation.
So when we talk about complexity and or lack of usability, what kind of infrastructure or resources that you have in-house or you use outside resources to make sure? Of course, the complexity is something which is very subjective and you can always make things easier. However, from the usability standpoint, an application interface could be made as complex as people would totally get confused and frustrated. Where did they start from and where did they end up? They don't know how to get back to where they started.
Right.
Those kind of things always happen, and people are always, in general, I have seen that organizations, when they come up with these applications, they would make it very function-rich. There would be literally every, function and feature in there under the sun, but at the same time, they would not have a clear layout or a navigation structure and those kind of things which basically constitute the usability.
Well, what we've done in almost all of our new applications, and most of all new applications are purchased, as opposed to some of our e-business, which we design ourselves, but most of them nowadays have some sort of a web interface, which most people are familiar with. And that's certainly the approach that we're taking, that all of our applications should have a look and feel of a web-enabled application, because most people can point and click. And that has seemed to work reasonably well. And beyond that is when you implement the system, start with the basics and work up to the more complex transactions and functionality within the software.
And you've seen that, even when you picked up the prepackaged applications and the software that you buy, they have done a pretty good job where users are able to learn that quickly and be able to execute their tasks efficiently.
Oh, I think the results are mixed. I to be quite honest about it. We've implemented some software that the navigability of it wasn't as good as I'd like to see. And then you have to work with that software supplier to make it better. And obviously training comes in and you know, just the reiterations of training sessions. But again, I think our experience is that most people moving into a new system, it's going to take anywhere from 3 to 9 months, depending upon the end user, to be totally comfortable with new software. And I think we've prepped our end user leadership to understand that, so that on day one of a system cutover, we can expect to have some issues. However, we work to minimize those by having what we've done in one of our large implementations is just have our key super users as well as our IT staff just walking the halls and being available anytime anyone has an issue. And I think that has worked reasonably well.
Oh, that's great. That is a great thing that you mentioned, where your IT stakeholders for their project are actually made available to the end users, so that if there's any...
And we've made a decision, goes back now a year and a half ago, that we're not going to walk away from an implementation until a site manager, as an example, or a plant manager is totally comfortable that his people or her people understand the functionality and the operation of the system, because it really doesn't make any sense whatsoever to implement the system, walk away in a few weeks to start a new implementation when you have problems. You have to fix those problems, and we've made that commitment to fix them before we go on to the next site for implementation purposes, and I think our end users have certainly appreciated that.
Oh, definitely. I think this is going to be a great step towards, you know, this was, if nothing else, it's going to ensure the overall adoption, and, you know, you'd be spending a lot of money into, and money and time and effort into setting these things up.
And our IT people have done a wonderful job of stepping up to solving those end user problems at cutover sites and spending numerous hours and working with end users and fixing problems and sticking with it until it's declared a success, and then move on to the next implementation. They've done a great job at that across the board.
Well, that's wonderful. Now let's quickly talk about the formal processes and methodologies pertaining to IT. As we know, that whenever a vendor would go to a large organization, they would always expect that there is some kind of formal processes in place and some methodologies are being used which are known to the world. And when we actually go in, and if at all there was any opportunity to do an internal audit in the same organizations, like large organizations, they would themselves be not following or would not even have such processes and methodologies in place. Now, what is your organization's quality assurance process, and where do you think, you know, not only quality assurance but other processes which are pertaining to IT, which exist and could be improved to create the value?
Well, first of all, we're working to implement a standard and as common as possible program management process, which will drive commonality in the way that we plan our projects and manage those projects on through implementation. And I think that is particularly key. Now, we have borrowed from, as you mentioned, each vendor has their own process. We've had a number of different software, hardware suppliers implement software at Arvin Meritor over the years. We've looked to take some of the best features of each and to develop the Arvin Meritor method to manage programs, to manage projects. And that's proven to be reasonably successful. We continue to work to improve it on a day-to-day, week-to-week, and month-to-month basis. In addition to that, for regression testing, we're trying to standardize by using some software that allows us to do that. And I think it's just a process that will continue and be ongoing.
Well, that's great. Let's take a quick break, listeners, and we'll be right back after these messages. And we would like to further touch the topic of this quality assurance and maybe see the value of internal audit in an organization. And when we talk about audit, this is not the financial audit we're talking about. This is an IT audit. And does that exist in more organizations of Arvin Meritor's size or in this industry? And also, how independent is it left so that it can really, create the value as it's supposed to? So let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. So please stay tuned.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Learn how to improve the quality of your work life with Beth Sims on Work Life Today, every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Business America Radio. Work Life Today is a show that will keep you a step ahead of the changing business culture with cutting-edge ideas and applications. Learn how to immediately improve your work conditions, get motivated, and discover the power you have over your own life with Beth and her esteemed guests. Live an intentional life. Tune in to Work Life Today every Thursday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Join host Brad Marks, the preeminent executive recruiter in the entertainment business, every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time for The Hollywood Headhunter. The show is an entertaining and informative discussion of the corporate world of entertainment and media. On the show, Brad will share his knowledge, insight, experience, and opinions along with his special guests of prominent industry personalities. So tune in and get connected to The Hollywood Headhunter with Brad Marks every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Real business issues, real business talk.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com on the SurfNet Radio Network, brought to you by SurfNet Media Group, publicly traded under the symbol SFNN.
Are you interested in the immigration laws that are increasingly affecting the way we all live? Then you need to tune in to Learner on Immigration every Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Host Brian Lerner, a certified specialist in immigration and nationality law, will give you updates on current immigration laws and allow you to call in and have your questions answered. The immigration policies of this country affect us all. Find out how on Learner on Immigration with certified specialist Brian Lerner. Heard every Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Franchising is one of the fastest growing segments of the economy. Learn how to get involved in this exciting and profitable industry by listening to Peter Berglund's Franchise Bootcamp every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Peter Berglund will discuss trends and concepts in the franchise industry, as well as tips and strategies on how you can become a successful franchisor. Find everything you need to know about franchising right here on Peter Berglund's Franchise Bootcamp. Broadcasting live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on Business America Radio.
Business Benefit News You Can Use with Mark A. Schoen, CFC, is a show dedicated to helping you get the biggest bang for your benefit and retirement dollars. Every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, your host, Mark Schoen, will bring you interesting discussions and topics from the Internal Revenue Service, Department of Labor, and other federal agencies about pension plans, employee benefit plans, and even federal taxation. So tune in to Business Benefits News You Can Use with Mark A. Schoen, CFC, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Real business issues, real business talk.
Talk radio with a business perspective. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is leveraging IT to get the most out of every dollar. Our guest for today's show is Perry Leib. Perry is the Senior Vice President and CIO of Arvind Meritor, Inc. In this position, he provides the strategic vision to Arvind Meritor's global technology efforts. Perry also directs the company's full range of information technology services, including computing services, global telecommunications, ERP, e-business applications development, and business intelligence system. Before the break, we were discussing about the quality assurance process, and definitely Arvind Meritor has a very, very strong quality assurance process where they make sure that any IT implementation that is executed is done with the best outcome in mind, and of course the processes are there to support it. And now the question I had before the break that I asked that we will be getting into further is the audit component of IT. As we always know that we definitely come up with these quality assurance processes and things are in place, as at least we think that they are in place, but there is definitely an internal and external audit that could further verify that for us, and if at all there are any gaps in there, that gives us an opportunity to identify them and then fill those gaps. So is there an internal IT audit process in place, or you can say IT department, an IT audit department in place? And if yes, how does that function and what is the level of independence that's provided to them? Because many times when you would do an internal IT audit, people would feel that if they would go and poke holes, their job would be jeopardized. So for that matter, IT audit function is normally kept independent, that they are given that immunity for that matter. So what are your thoughts about this? What exists in Arvind Meritor, and are we moving towards that? And what's the level of independence of this IT audit function?
Okay, first of all, audit is extremely important, and it's even more important from a legislative point of view and a regulatory point of view now with Sarbanes-Oxley. But even prior to Sarbanes-Oxley, we started a process that, which was initiated approximately 2 to 2.5 years ago, auditing really on three levels. We do internal self-assessments, internal IT audits. Beyond that, we have an internal audit function within Arvind Meritor who audits many different aspects of our operations, as well as an external auditor who provides the same service. And we really we're serious enough about audit that before any major implementation, I believe this started about 2.5 years ago as well, Sanjoy, is that we have our internal audit function do a readiness assessment of our implementations to ensure that we get an outsider's view or outside of IT view whether or not our implementation plans deserve to go forward because the probability of success are very good, both that IT is ready, the system is ready, and our end users are ready. And that has worked to our benefit over the last couple of years. In our annual performance goals, members of my staff each have a formal goal that we, number one, limit audit comments, fix those and rectify any comments that we have for improvement within as short a period as possible. And as auditors come back for a second and third audit, is to avoid repeatable audit comments. In other words, when we fix the problem, let's find the root cause and fix it once and not have to do that every time an auditor comes in. So I think audit can be a very effective partner, ensuring that your implementations are successful, that you're ready. And it's really just a real good barometer on the overall IT governance.
That's great. Let's quickly take this topic of outsourcing. Literally every time I talk about this, I always get this response about being neutral or this is a controversial topic and an emotional topic. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, first of all, when we say outsourcing, generally we mean offshoring nowadays.
Yeah, that's synonymous almost.
And most companies have been outsourcing for years. And Arvind Meritor is no exception to that. We've outsourced both in the prior Arvind and prior Meritor. As I mentioned earlier, we have chosen to do some insourcing, and that was particularly because it was more cost-effective for doing this. Now, the new variable in the mix is offshoring. And Arvind Meritor has offshored some functions in legacy maintenance support, and some actual some new development and some implementations we've had within the past year. And I think we'll have to continue to look at outsourcing or offshoring as being a viable option when we look at the cost equation. However, it has to be a benefit to Arvin Meritor. And also we have to respect, I think, keeping as much knowledge as we can in-house so that we have a fundamental base of knowledge. So I guess the short answer to all of that, Sanjo, is that we are selectively outsourcing and offshoring today. It will be a buffer for a variable cost. So as we have a critical mass of IT people now in the 460 range. As we look at new implementations where incremental headcount is needed, offshoring and outsourcing certainly is a very viable option to get additional resources.
That's wonderful. On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Kerry, for sharing techniques related to leveraging IT for making the most out of every dollar.
Well, thank you.
I urge all our listeners to participate, as this is the key to success of this show. Given the economic pressures, you see every nickel counts. And as we saw, creative deployment of IT does help in getting the most out of related investments. Here, creative always does not mean lowest cost approach, as that may also increase the risk of getting poor quality of the deliverables. So how do we eat the cake and have it too? Start with a well-thought-out plan. Perform upfront cost-benefit due diligence for each implementation. Choose the right in-house and outsourcing blend for execution, as Perry mentioned, and manage the execution to make sure that no budget or cost overruns occur. And all along, make sure that each IT investment should yield net positive results in no more than 3 to 6 months. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next Friday, take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Looking